Our next case is EA14-127050DAR, the Miracles Central. Our applicant is Jennifer Hoffman of Carlton Hart Architecture. The address is 1306 Northeast 2nd Avenue. Mark Walhood is our planner, fourth case of the day. Welcome, Mark. It's good to see you. Yeah. So you know, we have this fancy timer over here, so we're timing people's presentations, and it's working like a charm. So I'm gonna use it
for you to go off or anything.
Well, it's pretty quiet.
It's just a laser
thing.
Yeah,
start playing the music.
There's a little, there's a little sensor in your seat, and it will. It will start buzzing if you go over time. Just kidding. No, it buzzes a little bit. Uh-oh. That's for you, right? You get 10 minutes?
Sure.
You get 10 minutes.
Okay.
I think I just gave you 11.
We'll see how I do.
Hmm?
A little fruit. Yeah, I'm good.
Then they gave me extra.
There's six people over there.
Good for our guest.
All presenters get fruit.
No, actually, I think this sounds.
This is getting better.
I don't want one.
I'm impressed we're starting at 5. I'm just going to say that out loud.
Thank you.
Timer apparatus here.
Nice.
Really keeping us on our toes. Although we should time ourselves. What's next? Are we on?
You're on.
Okay, go.
All right, good afternoon, Commissioners. Thank you. I will go through this pretty quick because of the hour, but it's relatively straightforward also. EA14-127050DAR, Miracle Central. It's a new quarter block, mixed-use apartment building on a vacant site in the Lloyd District. You've seen a couple things in the area recently, the Legacy Labs and an apartment building on the Burgerville, right next to the Burgerville there, right by the Convention Center. It's 6 stories and 5 over 1 construction, 47 apartments on the ground floor, integrated with a community service use on the ground floor. It's post-recovery independent living living program in the apartments with tenant and community services on the ground floor. There's bike parking and a single loading bay that's an uncovered surface loading bay, which is related to the one modification. There's no on-site vehicle parking. Exterior materials include 2 shades of brick, fiber cement lap and panel siding, vinyl and aluminum window and door systems, and metal balcony railings and cornice and ground floor canopies. Valuation over $2.8 million triggers a Type 3 design review. The zoning is pretty straightforward. There's a lot of entitlements at the site. It's a 9-to-1 maximum FAR with a 250-foot maximum height. Their uses are allowed, community service is allowed if it occupies just the ground floor, which it is. There's no transit streets here, so we have no minimum or maximum setbacks. They can go right up to the lot line, and there's no minimum setbacks anywhere. There is a ground floor window requirement on the non-residential portions of the ground floor. They have to provide one of the smaller loading spaces, 9 by 18, 10-foot clear. Because the loading area is uncovered and has no 5-foot deep screening on the one side abutting the lot line, that is the single modification we've identified. And they have some bike parking, 5 short-term and 73 long-term bike parking spaces. It is Lloyd Pedestrian District, but again, no transit streets. And the guidelines are the Central City Fundamentals and the Lloyd District Special Design Guidelines. Here's just the one aerial shot I borrowed from Google. It's nice, just grassy, open vacant lot right now. Directly diagonal to the southwest is that legacy, old Legacy Hospital, Legacy Lab building today, with the surface parking lots for Legacy to the west across 2nd and to the south across Wasco. The remainder of the block has an old house to the east, a surface parking lot that's unsigned, just like a gravel surface parking lot. I'm assuming that's Legacy. And then a 4-unit Plex and another service parking lot to the north. We're also near the Merrick Apartments just to the southwest and the Calaroga Terrace high-rise in the block to the north. It's a couple big mature trees on the site and a little doggy walk bag dispenser on the corner. Otherwise, it's just grassy and open. This is looking from the southwest. Another shot sort of at the north lot line looking south towards the Legacy parking lot. It's a little bit washed out, but you can see the convention center spires nearby. The Legacy Lab building. Do we need to turn out lights, or are you okay? This is a little washed out. We got lights on. There we go. That's a little better. Legacy Lab directly to the southwest. I'm just standing in the Legacy parking lot looking north. You can see the Crown, old Crown Plaza Hotel. Another view of the site looking the other way towards the Merrick Apartments and the Lloyd Towers. This is the Calabroga Terrace just to the north, looking from the north property line through the another parking lot just to the north. This is that fourplex, looking from the north side on the kitty corner on the same block and the house. It's a nice church nearby, kitty corner to the northeast, Holy Rosary. The block to the east is a one-story old industrial warehouse that's been converted to an event center, but it's just kind of a concrete utilitarian building with some newer office-type aluminum windows. This is that unidentified surface parking lot that sort of wraps two sides of the little 1905 house there. As I mentioned, it's just gravel, and there's no signage, so I think it's probably an illegal parking lot, actually. But we're not here to talk about that. Looking east on Wasco from 3rd Avenue with the Merrick and then that one-story event center. And I'm just going to go through the renderings really quickly. View from the southwest. You see south elevation. I'm actually just going to stream right through these because the applicant's going to spend more time on it and get right to my topics. Let's see. We have four potential design discussion topics: material quality and masonry, ground floor permeability, massing and coherency, and pedestrian rain protection. First issue, material quality and masonry. We do have brick predominating on the street facades. There's a dark brick at the base and a lighter brick above. They're using the orange cement panel on the reset balconies and a lap siding fiber cement panel on the top floor or penthouse. There's a more extensive use of the orange fiber cement panel on what I'm calling the bookend walls or the end walls that you can see clearly on this interior shot, showing the little courtyard from like mid-block. So the question is just generally about fiber cement. Is this level of fiber cement acceptable? Another issue is regarding materials is the Lloyd guidelines specifically encourage the use of masonry and that buildings be predominantly in a light color. So it's just a question about the materials and coloration, in particular the orange accent cement panel. Is that a little too dark or aggressive for the district? Should that be toned down? Colors are something we should be talking about. Topic number two, ground floor permeability. It's just kind of not so much a concern with the design as much as a concern with the use, with the exception of the, I don't have my red pointer, but I can use the mouse, maybe. No, it doesn't show up. Just a concern with the social service and office type uses on the ground floor often end up having, saved by the applicant. Some concern on these on the edge of the windows where we have window and sort of cubicle space up against the street. Is that really the best thing to do? How can we ensure that those spaces maintain, a relationship with the street? Same thing for sort of for the meeting room. Then we have sort of blank walls at these inset end walls, bracketing both of the main street facades that are sort of just blank. Just general concerns about eyes on the street and permeability with the uses proposed. And those bookends. I'm going to jump to the next topic, which is just massing and coherency. The Lloyd District guidelines encourage buildings that are sculptural in surface with transparent glazing. I think we've got clear glazing. It's just a question about the sculptural form of the building. They're doing a lot of nice carve-outs for the balconies on all the upper floors as well as at the ground floor. Is the design responsive to that sculptural guideline? We're a little concerned about the top floor and cornice or our hats, and that be well integrated into the overall design and not just applied. are the top floor and the setback bookend wall successful? This is the more, I think, problematic, what I'm calling bookend wall, which faces south onto Wasco, which has this sort of large area of cement panel and pulled back a little bit from the main street facade. And then finally, just these windows at the corner, this corner bay on both street facades seem a little small in relation to the wall plane. So just looking at that part of the composition, that sort of breaks the regular vertical alignments that you find elsewhere, which is interesting, but should these windows maybe be a little bigger, or what can we do at the corner there? Finally, pedestrian rain protection was a pretty straightforward one. We have nice 8 to 10 foot ground floor recesses where the building overhangs above at the ground floor, so you have nice covered sort of in the private zone rain protection for the building with small metal, it's hard to see, but little metal projecting canopies at the main lobby entry, and then again on the other side at the main community service entry. Should we be looking or requesting a little bit more pedestrian rain cover projecting out over the right-of-way, basically, more awnings or canopies projecting from the building, or are the little sort of private inset areas at the street acceptable for that? And then, of course, the famous number 5, other topics at your discretion.
That's great. All questions? I've got. Questions? Questions of Mark? Okay. Great. All right, thanks.
Great.
Go ahead.
Oh. Yeah, just feel free to.
Okay, thanks, Mark. My name is Ben White with Carlton Hart Architecture. I'm presenting the Miracle Central project. This is a collaborative effort between the Miracles Club and Central City Concern. They're working together to help individuals and families recovering from drug and alcohol addiction. And this project, as Mark mentioned, provides 47 units of affordable housing and apartments, along with community support and peer mentoring services. It's planned to be 6 stories, approximately 47,500 square feet altogether. Before I get into more detail on the design, I'd like to invite Jesse Olson with Guardian Real Estate to speak just quickly about the goals of the development team.
Thanks, Ben. I'm Jesse Olson with Guardian Real Estate Services. We're representing the owners, the two nonprofits that Ben mentioned, Miracles Club and Central City Concern. And just quick background on those two groups if you aren't familiar with them. Miracles Club has been operating for over 15 years in Northeast Portland. Guardian developed a building for them on MLK a few years ago that is a similar program offering housing for recovery-based housing and community services space. That project has been very successful. The neighborhood loves it. They have served over 6,500 people in recovery. They offer a lot of 12-step programs and meetings, and they really specialize in peer-to-peer recovery services, which is kind of a unique service that they're teaming up with Central City Concern in order to amplify that. They serve largely an African-American membership, but they'll serve anyone seeking support for a new life. They're teaming up with Central City Concern, who you're probably more familiar with, a large nonprofit that operates a lot in Old Town and throughout Portland. They've been around for more than 30 years, served more than 13,000 people. They also offer housing, recovery, employment, behavioral, primary health care activities for low-income folks in town. And they also are behind the importance of providing peer and community-based recovery opportunities for an effective method to serve folks in recovery. And so you'll see that the ground floor of this project is really serving primarily that need. So the main program components are, of course, affordable housing, the peer-based recovery mentoring space, the space to provide culturally specific services, and then basically expanding the delivery and effectiveness of both organizations in this part of town. Along with the vision and the leadership from City Council and Portland Housing Bureau, the Miracle Central Development is working to set a new standard for social equity. which includes low barrier housing serving underrepresented populations and increased minority-owned participation on the development team, as well as working to exceed 30% MWESB representation on the construction side, and also providing housing that is central, walkable, near to transportation, food options, and other recovery services. So PHB did award $7 million in TIF funding last year for this project, and so they've seen this as a priority for them. And we're going in for low-income housing tax credits to Oregon Housing and Community Services next month. So looking for support from the state and city.
Okay, thanks, Jesse. So in addition to Mark's overview, did a really great job on the site itself. I'll just do a quick recap of a couple of items there. Again, here's the site at Northeast 2nd and Wasco. Zoning is RX in the central city and the Lloyd sub-district. The zoning encourages density, multifamily residential development with some limited retail and service uses, which is a good fit for our project. Also in a pedestrian district, and it's got really good transit access, so it's important to us to work with a design that strengthens those connections to the pedestrian amenities that are available and developing nearby. It's a short walking distance to the Moda Center, Memorial Coliseum, Convention Center, and a few blocks away from the Lloyd Center Mall to the east as well. The site itself is a quarter block. Again, as Mark mentioned, single-family residents on that east side. We're kind of flanked by those small parking lots on the north and the east. And then this is a rectory which serves the Holy Rosary Church that's on the block northeast of the site. So a few views of a site, not in as good of weather as Mark's were, but you can see it's very open. It's currently vacant. It's got a slight slope to it as well. The grade slopes up to the northeast from the corner at the intersection. This is the single family residence on the upper left, the church to the right, the rectory on the lower right, and then, as Mark mentioned, the more warehouse type building across the block to the east, where there's more commercial and food service type oriented uses along MLK to the east of the site. There's also a number of those large multifamily and mixed use buildings nearby, and some significantly taller buildings like the Calaroga Terrace, which is a retirement community directly to the north. Again, the Legacy Labs to the southwest. It's also flanked by those large parking lots. This is looking, you know, directly to the east across the site, and then to the south from the site is a large parking lot as well. So even though it's got great proximity to a variety of amenities, this is feels like it's a bit of an undeveloped site, underdeveloped currently. Very open, but it's also slightly disconnected by the traffic of the I-5 and the MLK Grand to the east and the Broadway-Wheeler couplet to the north. So again, we want to design with this in mind. There's some other projects in the area currently planned and underway that are strengthening the pedestrian environment, and so we want to further that effort and tie into that as well. So the ground floor plan, the primary entrance for the residence is off of 2nd with an entry lobby there. There's a small manager's office adjacent to that as well. The primary entrance to the offices is off of Wasco there on the south side. And then we have the large community meeting room, which is oriented towards that intersection, towards the corner there. There's a few just ground floor utility spaces that are necessary to have there that we've kind of tucked away from that primary corner. There's also a garden courtyard for the residents to the rear of the building. This is, you know, provide some, you know, additional access to outdoor space for the residents, but also the setback there allows the units, which are on the floors up above, to have more access to natural daylight and air. So a typical floor plan is an L-shaped corridor, sort of double-loaded over here and single-loaded over on this side. Most of the units most of the plans are the same. It's primarily one bedrooms, a few studios, and a couple of two bedrooms. There's some utility spaces that are oriented towards the end of the hallways, as you can see in the circulation stairways. On the third and the fifth floor, central to that plan, we've got shared common laundry facilities as well as a common bike storage parking and a small office or storage space. So that occurs on the third and the fifth floors. The sixth floor has a different program for the residential in that all of the units on the sixth floor are studios. So the massing of the forms is really based off of these three primary forms. We want to set up a distinction between the uses and relate to the different plan configurations that I was just talking about. So the base represents a community and service office activity on the ground floor. And then the predominant mass represents the majority of the residential housing. That's floors 2 through 5. And then a background mass represents where that top floor is doing a little bit different thing in terms of program being all studio units. So the background mass intersects with the lower mass and creates a backdrop for it. And then we wanted to provide a strong cornice to resolve the top of the building. And then treated the stair towers as secondary forms, as Mark was mentioning. They sort of bookend the building on either side. And by having the massing of those be separate forms, we're working to provide more variation and interest along those property line facades that we have facing the north and the east. So all of these forms come together to form a single composition, and then we carved out from that primary mass the spaces for the unit balconies. So this sets up the pattern that we really tried to use around all facades of the building. Through the material selections, we wanted to further emphasize the concept. The design goals were to provide durable quality materials. We want to have a well-coordinated color palette to help articulate that variety in the building form. And we want to provide materials with textural differences to relate to more of the human scale and to provide additional interest. We're also working within the budget constraints of a publicly funded project, which means that we're focusing our emphasis on those more prominent areas of the building, as well as those places where people are going to interact with it more or the most, such as the ground floor. The goals of the Lloyd Design District also help shape that, as Mark was mentioning again. The use of the masonry as predominant facade material, that's the majority of our street-facing facades, as well as the one facing the courtyard. We suggest using light color values for the predominant exterior materials, which we feel we've done, and then use some dark values to articulate the design. The design district also encourages the use of window setbacks and variation in the facade rather than a flush wall expression, and encourages the use of a variety of window types and sizes. Those concepts relate a little bit more to the massing that I was talking about. But in terms of the materials, we chose the lighter brick. Let me go back to this slide real quick. This lighter brick for the predominant building mass, and then a darker brick for the base to accentuate the difference between those masses. And then a lighter off-white for the lap panel up above to serve as a background to that predominant mass. We expressed the cornice in a darker color to relate to the strong dark color of the base. And then the orange color that Mark mentioned, you know, we were looking in the neighborhood, there's a lot of beige and tan, and we wanted to provide some additional visual interest and introduce a pop of color. Our goal is to use that in a restrained way, but as an accent to the other colors that helps give some identity to the project. So we use the orange for those areas of fiber cement panel, which are limited to the stair towers and the recessed unit balconies. The finishes for the windows, aluminum storefront along the ground floors in a dark bronze, fiberglass windows also in a dark bronze up above, as well as the railings and architectural grills for the PTHPs. So we do have a materials board we'll pass around. It has some samples of those brick colors, as well as the paint for the fiber cement siding, and samples of the window frames as well. So in the elevations, you can see the palette applied. This is the south elevation facing Wasco. You can see where we've got the office entry and the offices that we've oriented towards the street and the community meeting room there at the corner with the unit balconies that are carved out up above. On the west facade, this is the primary residential entrance. Again, manager's office is adjacent. And all along here, the community meeting room on the first floor. Unit balcony is up above, and you can see how that top floor is articulated differently because of the pattern of balconies and a different plan for the studio units. So this is the north facade, primary stair and elevator tower. And you can see here there's the courtyard, which is slightly recessed from the adjacent sites because of the grading. This is a cutaway of that same facade, so you can see the patterning of the units above the courtyard mimics that's on those prominent south and west-facing facades. And when we move around to the west, you can see the vertical circulation lobbies adjacent to that stair tower, which look down on the courtyard as well. And then on that east facade, the second stair tower, the end of the corridor, and then the composition of materials that we're working to create some more interest along that facade as well. So we don't have as much of a monolithic wall on the property line where we really have a limitation on our openings. So this is the perspective view from the northwest. From 2nd Street, you can see how that all comes together. The residential entry here, the carve-outs for the unit balconies above, and then the top floor with the studios. From the southwest corner, this is at the intersection of 2nd and Wasco. And you can see what we've done with the window patterning is try to work to really express that as the predominant mass. The reason we went with a smaller pattern of windows in this area is to allow the brick to express itself as a more solid form where it's cut away in other areas that necessarily for the unit balconies. This is a view from the southeast from Wasco. This is the office entry. And again, the offices along here and the community space. Between this and the last facade, you can see what we're trying to do here to speak to one of the discussion topics that Mark brought up is strike a balance between the amount of transparency on that ground floor and provide enough massing that there is a solid base for the form up above so that it doesn't feel like it's just floating. And then this is around from the northeast, bird's eye view of the courtyard and the north-facing units, which look down onto it. So a couple of perspectives of the courtyard itself. So with the arrangement of this, we wanted to provide opportunities for small gatherings as well as seating, which allows for one or two individuals to get together. It's a smaller north-facing space, so we selected vine maples for the trees. Helped to find the space but not become overly large. We also, those along with the other plant materials, can stand up to a good amount of water. Not only do they provide interest, but a large portion of these planting areas are also serving as stormwater detention planters. The courtyard surface is made up of concrete pavers. So as I mentioned, we're working to strengthen the pedestrian environment and create a pleasant experience along the facade at the sidewalk level. We've oriented all of the most active uses of the program towards the street front and provided what we feel is an ample amount of windows to provide views in there and see the activity. We've also incorporated, as you can see here, a little bit better, a series of recesses and awnings along the sidewalk to provide opportunities for protection from the elements from residents, also potentially for people, some spill out space for the community room itself when that's in use. We're also incorporating, of course, the Lloyd District design guidelines with the pattern of the scoring in the sidewalk and the tree grates. And then we do actually have two modifications that we're requesting. This was the one that Mark mentioned, the loading landscape buffer. The loading needs for this project are really expected to be fairly minimal, people moving in and moving out occasionally, but not a significant amount of loading. It's just barely required for the project. We're 7 units over the threshold for that. In fact, we initially did some design studies for the project as we were pursuing funding 2 years ago, and based on the number of units, there wasn't a requirement to have a space. So when the zoning code changed, we looked at opportunities to accommodate that across the street or in an on-street space, which neither of those were feasible. So we figured out a way to carve out this corner that was near the main entry. We're also using it for a dual purpose. We can put an in-grade transformer vault there so we can keep that out of the right-of-way. And we just didn't have room with those two things to also provide the landscape buffer. So we're requesting a modification for that. We do have a small curb wall that we need here that's just between 1 and 2 feet. Okay, I just have one more slide after this. So we looked at the option of providing a solid wall there for screening. It felt really inappropriate to the design and awkward. So we're proposing just keeping that as a short retaining wall. The second modification is just one that you've seen a number of times. This is a modification for the long-term bicycle storage, just requesting that we can accommodate that in staggered wall racks with a 1'6" spacing and a 6-inch stagger that we've seen successful in a number of other projects. We're providing the 73 spaces required per zoning in a combination of 3 different bike storage rooms. So that's our conclusion. We welcome your thoughts, questions, feedback, and advice, particularly, again, with regard to the materials, modifications, and the items that Mark brought up.
Great. Thank you. So, questions?
Just a quick question. Are the right-of-way vaults in the right-of-way? Are we allowed to do those now? Or did you guys check?
It requires an exception, according to PBOT.
It requires an exception. It was suggested strongly that we look at other alternatives, but we are in an area that's PPNL, and they do have the transformers with the concrete lids. We were actually looking at an option instead of that to put it beyond the pedestrian zone. It doesn't fit just in the furnishing zone, but it would require some sort of a bump out into the street, and so
Fabio was pushing
a good solution there.
Fabio was pushing back really strong against it encroaching into the passage zone, the through zone on the sidewalk, creeping beyond the furnishing.
Sure.
We can't get a vault small enough.
We've been at odds with them on this issue for months. I guess we need to probably
And they seen this one, Ben? I mean, because there are a lot of clearance, too, and overhead.
It is totally open above. There's plenty of room to get a transformer in and out. It's if I can flip back here.
Feels back,
right. So right there, it is open above.
Yeah, that was I circled that on here also, and so it will fit in the right of way. It just encroaches on the pedestrian zone. That's what they're saying, right?
It doesn't fit in the furnishing zone. Right. It doesn't.
But the 12-foot wide sidewalk or so, it fit within the sidewalk.
Right. Yes, that's my understanding. That's correct, right?
I'm Logan Cravens. I'm also with Carlton Hart and joining Ben. The vault, as we understand, they could place it in the sidewalk, but they would rather have it in the furnishing zone, the 6-foot sure. zone. Our vault is probably 8-foot mm-hmm. wide dimension at the smallest, so right. it would have to lap over in some fashion. So that either means it goes under the street or back under the sidewalk with a limited access hatch that would have to fit in that furnishing zone. Mm-hmm. We just haven't worked that out yet. We've started our account with Pacific Power, but we have to hear what they say.
Tim?
We don't have to talk about the vaults. That's PP&L. They're doing a lift outlet. I'm sure we'll find... Right. I'm sure we'll find a solution. We could certainly work with PBOT and the customer. And
you know what we like.
And what all I need to hear from the commission is, would you rather have it in the storefront or would you rather have it in the right-of-way?
I'd rather have it in the right-of-way.
Okay, thank you.
Right-of-way.
Yeah. You'd rather have it in the right-of-way than in an uncovered area on the private property?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes.
That's what the right of way is for in our
this
opinion.
This is a place where it can be done. I mean, there's
sounds
not
great
like
to us.
A streetcar.
Exactly.
You know, there's not a whole bunch of, as far as I know, a bunch of other vaulting going on underneath the street that you have to worry about. So.
This is the one thing we're all united.
Yes. We can all agree. Right? Let's just go home now. Just kidding. Okay. So,
having said that, though, the workability of that that loading zone, though, it's an area of concern, I would say. I mean, the big recess from the street and would you had you thought at now that it if the when the transformer moves out of there, would you consider a garage door at the face of the property now and enclosing that whole thing instead of it being back 18 feet or loading zone out front and just get rid of the whole thing?
Yeah.
That'd be better.
We'd have to build quite a bit more building to do that, if I'm understanding you correctly. Like, I mean, not just the first floor. You're talking about bringing the whole mass forward in that location?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. It's space that we don't necessarily have program for up above.
Right. Or, as Ben was suggesting, the possibility of... but you said if you need that loading zone... So
we have 47 units. Right. Used to be the threshold was over 50 units. You were required to have one type B loading space. It recently changed to over 40 units. And so we're just 7 over that threshold. We're required to have one. It's required based on the number of residences, not because of the
office
use.
And so did you speak with PBOT about a dedicated service zone spot on the street?
We did bring that up, and also the space that exists across the street to see if we could use that. They weren't in favor of us locating a loading spot on the street, so it was why we went down this path.
So now if you don't have a driveway there, though, then you have enough space to at least start a loading zone on the street, right? If you don't have your curb cut?
That will we'll have to have a curb cut there for that. Loading space.
That's what I'm saying. If the loading space isn't there.
There, but I think the loading space would need to be bigger than a curb cut, probably.
We also have the trash collection room.
I know. I'm just saying it's the start of one.
I know. I understand.
The trash collection room is right beyond that too, and we're using a compactor container.
Sure.
So, for that to have a ramp to come down off of the sidewalk makes it so we can have collection from the trash company. Mm-hmm.
It does seem like it's a place where people will sleep and there aren't things on it.
Yeah.
It does seem like it's a little bit of a dangerous...
Yeah, it's a bit of a... as is the other corner.
Yeah, I think to get to the heart of... So Commissioner Kelton had to leave early, but to get to the heart of the comments that he basically left and to one of mine is that, you've created this blind pocket here where you have all these transitions, but transitioning into essentially a dead corner. And it's... It is not a heavily trafficked neighborhood, but it you know, but yeah, you're creating a place that's a outdoor bathroom slash sleeping area, and it it just feels like that whole neighbor, that whole corner needs to shift over or pop out or something and meet the street completely along its face there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
On both corners.
Yeah, yeah. On both corners.
Right.
Okay. Right. Anyone disagree?
So I would just like to comment. Part of what the setback does in the massing there is it does help us express this as a form. If this is out at the same plane as that, it just seems like there's brick applied and then lap siding applied or something different. So it allows us to turn the corner with that brick in a little more effective way, considering somebody could build against that property line at some point. I understand the concern about that being a little bit deep, but it does kind of help strengthen this form by having that setback somewhat.
In your plan view, it looks like there's a wall that's running along that north edge. But in the perspective, I don't think, was I not seeing that wall, or is it lower than?
The wall, that should, it's just a curb that shouldn't be cut. It's less than 2 feet high. It just deals with a little bit of a grade change there.
It could, in fact, at some point be a future wall of another building right there, though, right?
Yes, yeah, it could be.
Yeah. How much of an overhang or cantilever of the second floor is there over the first floor?
It's about
at the street. Don't you have a little bit of a?
It's a little over a foot.
Extension.
It's about a foot.
The second.
A little over a foot.
A foot. Okay. All right. So, given the pedestrian nature that will be that the guidelines tries to support that. Canopies, et cetera, like that. I mean, you have a recess at major entrance at the community room, and then minor ones at the two building entrances. But there's no real canopy extension over the sidewalk anywhere.
No, just the canopy at those recessed entries does extend beyond the building form here, but it's not out a significant distance beyond the property line at all.
And what's the reason that those entrances are set back so far? The community entrance and the resident entrance. They're set back like 8 feet or something. Is that, it looks like, from the property line?
Yeah, 8 to 10 feet.
8 to 10 feet, yeah. Why are they, I mean, why do they have to be that deep? I'm just kind of curious if they've got a canopy.
I mean, it's not essential that they are that deep. It's just,
right. I think it just runs to the same issue as the corners. They just create real deep pockets for people to kind of, you know, whatever.
Right. It would be nice to see more of the building meet the street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like on Second Street, just having the more articulated paving on the back of the sidewalk, it seems like that is more kind of successful to have those areas. There's some, I mean, if there was a bench or two or just a place to kind of get off the sidewalk, but it seems like on Wasco Street, they feel really deep and less inviting, I guess, to me. Because they're so narrow.
So that shows the relationship there, the recess, that entry, how far that canopy sticks out that we were talking about. And then this area of recess here, slightly at an oblique angle, but that's nearly 8 feet.
Because I'm reading the top one as all being kind of one piece, and that seems like that makes more sense. And down here, unless there was something on the walls, some kind of like a directory or something about the building, it just seems really deep.
Bike parking is
going
to have to go in there too.
In where?
In this.
On the second street side, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This recess here where the community room is where our short-term spaces are.
Yeah.
So that bike parking and then the interior bike parking, is that meeting your total requirement?
Yeah, we have 73 long-term, which is exactly the requirement, and then we're providing 6 short-term and 5 are required.
I thought it odd that it's on the fifth floor.
It's on the first, third, and fifth, so just trying to get it dispersed closer
to people's
units.
There's a little one on the ground floor.
Yeah, first, third, and fifth.
Every one bedroom and all one bedroom and two bedrooms have one space inside their unit as well.
Okay.
I guess just in terms of the way that you've laid out the ground floor, I like the fact that there is a little bit of outdoor space related to the community meeting room and that that's facing the street. I think I feel like the way that all of those spaces, the lobby, the community meeting room, and then the offices are situated is really smart on the first floor. And then I guess I just am thinking with the lobby and then leading into the courtyard space, if those view lines are really open, because it is tucked back so far in the corner, the more that that can seem open and a direct relationship between the lobby and the courtyard, it'll be more successful.
Absolutely. That's what we're trying to do. So maybe we can push that a little bit. The upper floor also, you can see how the area there adjacent to the elevator will look down on that courtyard as well. But the first floor, that's what we've tried to do here, is as you're walking in the front door, you're seeing straight through to the courtyard beyond.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And the all of the green that you see is a stormwater detention system in mm-hmm. the square footage. And if you have any questions, we have our landscape architect here as well. Mm-hmm. The right next to the door leading from the lobby, the residential lobby, and then over at the right-hand corner of the courtyard are the two outflows from the roof drains. And they'll spill visually into those gardens and then percolate. And eventually, if they do overcharge, then they spill into the stormwater.
As far as the kind of organization overall massing, the and you've got a regular kind of floor plate from levels 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then the studio is this kind of penthouse. But there, I mean, its current form, it's just there's no relationship or continuity between the middle four floors and that top. It just kind of looks like it's set on top. There's no rhythm or connection. It's just it's a very kind of separated element. And the window kind of fenestration, particularly at that corner, just seems to be, I know you wanted the brick to kind of express itself, but I think it kind of suffers from like too small aperture on too big a plane. And at that corner, it wants to be more open, I think. And at least, I mean, I would just look at it as repeating that form of window you have to the right and to the left. And just, it's a very regular, I think the base is fairly successful. The middle is seems to be the most successful at this point. And then the top is kind of a foreign element right now that doesn't really relate to, it just kind of, if you took it off and say, okay, and then look at it again, it's like it's just not kind of resolved in how it kind of terminates with itself. Nothing is in alignment. And I know it's about the studio module versus the 1 and 2 bedroom module, but there needs to be some sense of termination of that form. And right now it's just a cap on it. Not even a cap, it's just kind of perched up there. Okay. And for such a small building, you know, it's very strong. Like I said, the midsection to me is the strongest, and even the orange-ish kind of material you have there. But I just wonder about the really emphasizing the stair towers in such a small building. It seems like where the residents are, you want to really emphasize that as kind of the active energy parts, and then these other pieces are bracketing it but are quiet, you know, in a way that, I mean, I look at these towers and I'm just thinking, that's really important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a stair, and so maybe it's not so important. And maybe that energy, like I said, I think the generous nature of the balconies is really quite nice, and the color as an inset kind of plays off of that. But there's a couple of just incongruous elements that don't quite come together, including the material of the penthouse and how it comes down. It just seems like it's like this suburban element just kind of perched on. It looks like a suburban house, kind of ranch house set on top of this very urban building, to me at least. And in your diagram, you had these kind of stair towers, bracketing elements that came up and then it came around, right?
Can we go to that?
Yes.
Yeah, your diagram. And the architecture actually doesn't do that. It's
so those aren't the stair towers. I think what you're referring to.
Oh, is that?
This is that white lap siding that comes down, okay, that you see later on. And then the stair towers put in that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe if you just included all of that, the stair and the white together as this piece that comes and wraps down. Because there are support elements, right? There's mechanical space and elevator and stairs. And there's kind of the same grouping of activities that bracket the kind of lively parts that are in the middle.
Can you go one more slide? Yeah. I had the same feeling as David, because I thought that white band was encompassing the stair tower. Mm-hmm. And I think that and this actually works pretty strongly if you imagine that's actually happening. Yeah. Then, and I think right here you're doing great. But I agree that then the breakdown of the facade, particularly the penthouse, is where you leave this quite a ways behind. This is actually the strongest part right here.
Right. Yeah, that seems like that penthouse wants to have more kind of continuity or just kind of continuous
also
nature.
I agree with you, David, on the window, that's patterning right at the corner of the big, mm-hmm. the main corner that you were talking about, mm-hmm. expressing the brick at that corner. Did you look at doing a more rigorous patterning on the windows at that corner? And then
yeah, we did.
Or kind of random window patterning? More in the mid or the staircase?
Yeah, we looked at options of either aligning all the things towards that corner or staggering the other ones as well.
You landed here.
Some of those felt forced, and this is where we landed. But I do understand the comment.
Yeah.
I'm curious if there's any suggestions relative to that top floor. You mentioned things, not relating to down below.
Right,
Again, looking at that just based on the plan, it felt a little forced to try to get what need to be living room windows and balcony doors. They're not going to line up with anything down below necessarily. So right. I guess what the goal was to push it to be different enough that it made sense.
Yeah, to me, it's probably the positive negative of the facade that begins to weaken it from the model that you have in the slide, the earlier slide, that shows that a single plane all recessed back versus punched out and back. And
right, it's a pushable thing.
Yeah, that probably would help.
That's
it.
A good
yeah.
point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that, because in the massing, it's this bar at the top. Mm-hmm. But
now it's not.
Now
a bar
it's this,
anymore.
Yeah, it's a bar. It's kind of punched and right. in and out. And
so, yeah. Would a solution to that be, for instance, where they're using the orange and the recess below to do that again up top to tie it together, or would that make it look too crazy? I mean, it would be an option. It's one way to relate the vocabulary
yeah,
down below.
Yeah.
And
I think the punch, positive, negative,
yeah.
creates the shadowing that those two colors yeah. will never read the same.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, true.
Or that same color.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have similar comments about the windows on the corner that they seem small.
Yeah.
And I think, lots of light would be nice for these folks, and I know it's south and west facing, so that means you're dealing with heat gain. But I mean, you're dealing with heat gain issues because you've got
yeah.
south and west.
Yeah.
But
right.
Some sunshade and it feels like they need to be more generous. And I think there's a rigor to the way they're going around the building,
yeah.
and it
yeah.
sort of dies at that corner.
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
If you take parts of it, it's very resolved, but other parts are sort of not just irregular, but kind of random at this point. And so I agree, the kind of taking the parts that resolve, which are kind of those where the decks are and the edges of those decks, those windows, and just kind of trying to spread that out a little bit more consistently
mm-hmm.
in the building. Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I heard what you were saying, Ben, about the ground floor and the this corner piece being floor to ceiling glass and the other ones needing a little more privacy. But something doesn't seem resolved there to me, either in the balance of how that's occurring and the reasoning behind it. I mean, it almost feels like they should all be floor to ceiling or some back, and maybe that's same as the penthouse, maybe that's to do with all the in and outs of the ground floor combined with the store floor to ceiling and the punch windows happening. Sort of just put a little more structure to that, to those decisions and how they balance each other. And I think they also speak pretty strongly to the penthouse. My eye goes kind of as that middle band floats, my eye connects the bottom and the top. So how those communicate too, I think is pretty important. And also in the base.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would agree. I think the clapboard siding at the top doesn't quite fit with the brick and the siding and the orange insets and floor-to-ceiling glass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not.
Okay.
And I guess looking at the scale of the resident entrance too, it's just this really teeny little aperture. So the main entrance for most of the building is the smallest entry of all three. And I just wondered about the scale of that. Is that intentional that it's supposed to be understated, or is that? No,
not understated. It was supposed to be equal to the office one.
But it is actually the narrowest as far as the aperture into the building.
It is
most people be coming through there throughout the day? I mean, all the residents will be coming in. They might come out the community entrance at times, but in terms of hierarchy, it is the smallest one, and it seems a little tight. There's a project that's built near my house that has. And one of those new housing ones that going in everywhere, you know, and it's a very small entrance, and it just feels really tight and isn't comfortable, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would just suggest maybe, you know, thinking about that a little bit, you know, giving it a little more gracious.
Well, and I think that could be achieved, again, if there was some exploration of pulling the building out to the whole building face out to the party wall you know, enclosing that loading zone and just sort of rearranging that whole corner, I think you could get a more gracious entrance into the building out of that.
I mean, to fill those corners, is it simple enough to pull the first floor over to fill the corner? Or do we need to put, you know?
Well, I think the massing strategy is that predominant mass is larger than the base, and so to extend that one spot out doesn't necessarily feel like the right approach.
So I guess our comment is that those spaces on the corners need to be something else other than, they can't just be open spaces where that are open invitations to kind of hang out. And
so do you think a adjustment or modification to eliminate the loading space is a possibility?
I would support that. Yeah.
I would support it. I don't know if it's possible, and if it isn't, then I would say I still want to see the building fill out.
The problem that I have to tell you is that their trash compactor requires a lot of mini curb cut.
Uh-huh.
And Fabio said absolutely no to the mini curb cut.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe we can push back on that a little bit.
Right.
But it was sort of that issue that led to their putting the loading space there. It wasn't there in earlier drawings.
Correct.
I mean, I'm okay with there being a loading space there. I just want to see the building
make
an urban edge instead of peeling back there and creating those awkward. Because, I mean, even when you get the building built next door, then you've created it even more.
Yeah, it's even more pocketed. And,
closed off.
I guess the question is, can you pull that garage door out? You've got a garage door anyway. Is it big enough for you to get your whatever truck you need to back in there?
I think, yeah, we would have to widen it and
make
it a bit taller in there, but we'll take a look at it.
Okay. I mean, one of Commissioner Keltner's comments here that he left with me was just, again, the folding corners. There are too many transitions between materials.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've got the transition between on the blank wall on the back, you know, between what is that brick and then clapboard on your party wall.
I'm sorry. This one... Oops, this one here?
Yeah. That, you know, you've got a lot of transitions there, and then you have this jog in. Why does it jog in there?
To allow us to bring some light into the end of that hallway. Just the percentage of windows. We've got to get a few feet from the property.
Makes sense. But, yeah, but that there are all these material transitions that you're doing. Corners and jogs and stuff is going to create some difficult circumstances. And
Yeah. Appreciate the effort to kind of break it down scale-wise.
Yeah.
But I think I counted five materials on the one corner, and so just simplification of that, you know, of that palette.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, where on that kind of southeast corner where the mechanical comes out a little bit from the stair.
Yeah, this one here.
Might just kind of resolve those, and since if those become the same material now as that concept changes to include
both of those, then they might want to be the same material, and they might want to align, now.
So one of the reasons we did use two different materials there was to try to limit the amount of fiber cement panel that we're using, just based on previous design reviews. And so we need to find a really cost-effective material to replace that lap siding. If the lap siding isn't reading correctly, we don't have a lot of alternatives other than panels.
Is the orange the same material, just a different form of it?
It's a fiber cement panel, yeah. Painted.
Well, getting down to one.
But you could.
Right.
You could use that, the orange material, but not in orange, maybe. I mean, maybe it's a different. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then that could wrap up and over. And then you tie the material that is in the decks, right, with that material, but it's just a different color.
Well, I'm also curious what the lid is with that soffit, fascia, or even half.
Yeah,
I mean, it's gray now. What is that material?
It's metal.
It's a pre-finished metal, and then we will have painted soffit, fiber cement soffit, in the balcony recesses. That would be the same color. And it's reading a little gray on the screen. It's got a little bit more brown to it to tie in with the case.
Future reality.
Do those studios need a deck? I mean, it's nice to have a deck. Do the studios, programmatically, from your standpoint, have to have a deck?
And there is a requirement for that
in
the zoning.
In the zoning?
That they have it.
Every unit has
to. We have to have outdoor space. We can't accommodate enough outdoor space anywhere near with just the courtyard.
The what?
I may be mistaken about it. It is programmatically something we want to have, but that was part of the reason for including it.
I could see it being pretty important for a recovery community to have
access to open air,
especially because a lot of folks who...
Sure. No, I guess what I was getting at is that idea of a planar approach instead of in and out on that top one.
Yeah.
And then could you have more like doors that open to a...
I'm sure they can figure out a way to clean up that penthouse.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we do have to have a balcony. Part of that's the state funding that we'll be applying for. There may be some ways that we could push and pull that wall up there to
sure.
achieve it differently. It's a bit of a challenge just because we're also working with fixed square footages.
Sure.
But, we'll take a look at it.
It's not a zoning.
Okay.
Because open space is on the ground. I mean, when you've got a requirement for
it. Do you feel like that sixth floor wants to be pulled back? Second, third, fourth, and fifth floor wants to be pulled back? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I wasn't necessarily saying it would be pulled back. I was getting more at this, have a continuous exterior wall, and then you could.
Continuous depth.
Yeah, and then you could have sliders or French doors that have then just a Juliet kind of balcony kind of thing, where you can open the doors up, but you don't necessarily go out onto the space.
And if I'm hearing Mark correctly, there isn't a dimensional requirement for an outdoor space there. We definitely have more flexibility to play with that and still provide them outdoor space.
Right. So did I hear you correctly? I mean, what are your constraints on unit size?
We have minimums and maximums for all different types of units.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And did that unit size constraint drive you to do the kind of crenellating you're doing on your corners, where you're stepping stuff in and doing these transitions, what drove that? I mean, I know you're saying you're breaking down a mass and doing other things, but I mean, do you have any room to move on your unit size right now, I guess?
So this offset, we have very little room move in the unit size. We could move potentially in the stair size or the utility space size.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, I think, the places that sound like they're the most problematic. That could use a little more resolution. But the units themselves, we don't have a lot of flexibility.
Is it possible to, on the street side of that stair mass, get a window into the stairwell? Get some natural light in there, and so it isn't just this big mat. I mean, I'd like to see that too. You know, break the mess up with the window, you get some natural light in.
Mm-hmm.
Same with maybe the door to the stair, like being able to see what you're stepping out to as you come down. Since that is a people space as opposed to the mechanical door, is probably fine without a window, but the stair door might be nice to have at least a light in it. Maybe not all glass.
Yeah, more light the better.
Yeah.
There's an odd kind of relationship between the concrete and the brick the two bricks there. I don't know if you want to think about the datum line, alignment of those things. I don't know. Have you got a first floor concrete and then?
Yeah, that's part of what's driving that, is the different construction types.
Okay. That's all I have.
Poke at the rain protection one.
Right.
Instead of front door instead of more projecting balconies or canopies.
I'm trying to think. I'm in favor of canopies. I feel kind of like this, the ground, we've made some comments that might push the ground floor a little bit in some different directions, so it feels like we may need to see canopies there. I understand the desire to sort of make the overhang double as the canopy, but the overhang isn't really generous enough to make a canopy around those windows and what have you, so how you make a canopy work with that, I don't know.
Well, I think if we ask them to pull the doors back out, and not be so deep, then the canopy is probably going to be a good idea.
Right. Yeah, we can do that. Part of the reason we didn't do like across the facade in larger portions was it breaks up the massing concept of having that base.
Right.
If all of a sudden you've got a ledge, then that the other piece sits on. So that's part of the reason for that. But yeah, pulling those doors out, we could pull the canopies along with them.
Or even a projection just from the two opposing entries around the corner. So it's not a projection around the whole base.
Take a look.
What's the corner?
Okay. Let's take a look at
door that. Door
to door. So you're saying like an L that would wrap from one door to the other, but would also enclose the windows? Would
a
cover
little
the
bit over the windows.
Yeah.
But that would be connecting the community entrance to the
residential entrance.
I need to go back to the plan. It seemed to me that it's connecting two different types of entrances, but that's not a big deal.
It would result in a canopy that went across the majority of the facade, though, to go all the way around that corner.
Mm-hmm. The other way to do it is, if you had enough room, you could recess from resident entrance all the way around the corner to the community entrance. You could set it all back in the same plane and have it 5 feet set back, so you just underneath the
right.
The building at that point. Then you don't have any canopies, and you've got these bookends with the three sets of entrances that are kind of all in the same plane. And
complete the corner.
Right. Complete the corner. You've got a 5-foot kind of overhang. I don't know if you can spare that much room, but it's not that much, though, when you think about what they've got. Really, it's the community room that kind of loses a bit of space, but not much. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more than one ways to get there, but it seems like a little more weather protection if you can find it in a way that doesn't wreck your design party. Okay. Other comments?
No.
Questions from you or things that we didn't hit?
Well, we had that sort of use-related issue about the ground floor. I'm not hearing a lot of concerns about the ground floor windows, but I talked a little bit about the different sill heights and sort of involving that.
Yeah.
I think all the uses that are facing the sidewalk seem appropriate to me.
They're fine.
I also didn't see the rooftop mechanical stuff in any of these except for one of your slides. I was looking through the packet and I couldn't see where
We're a little early in the design and just don't have that figured out.
There was an image on one of your slides here that showed it, so I didn't know if you had thoughts on that or what you were planning.
The plan is to set that far enough back from the street to keep it from being visible, but again, we haven't sized and located all that yet.
The community
still
room.
We have views down from other buildings around there that look onto that roof, too, so keep that in mind.
And I'm hearing pretty strong support for an enclosed loading bay, if you're going to be loading as opposed to the surface one.
It's just the corner problem.
Both it's part of it. Corner.
Yeah, it's making a blind corner, a blind open corner.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Thank you. Oh, appreciate it. Right. Yeah, we'll talk to the team, but I think we'll probably come back for some additional review.
Should we try to set a tentative now?
Being back in a month means two weeks turnaround.
We'll get back in touch with you. I think that'll be a better approach.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Thank you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey.
10 minutes early. All right, Tim, you're on.
What do I do?
I don't know. You said you wanted to meet with us after the hearing.